This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, May 15th, 2019, and this is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. On today's show, riding across Arkansas on a bicycle, listening to True Grit. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek met a cyclist who covered much of the state, and Zuzanna talked to her just after she arrived at the end of her five-day trek in Bentonville. This afternoon at 1 on KUAF, right after Ozarks at Large, it's NPR's Here and Now. Today, there's been a lot of attention directed toward the opioid crisis. But in places like Oregon, the meth crisis is even worse. A conversation with a doctor on the front lines of America's meth problem. Here and Now begins in about 54 minutes on 91.3. And you'll have a chance to watch an artist in action and learn from her as well tonight. Elaine Cossey-Brock will lead a session called The Art of Jewelry Making from 5 to 7 tonight at the Center for Art and Education in Van Buren. She'll demonstrate techniques of making fine jewelry. The workshop is free and open to the public. The Center for Art and Education, located at 104 North 13th in Van Buren. This is Ozarks at Large. Silicon-based Plug and Play is a supply chain and logistics accelerator with locations in New York, Tokyo, Beijing, Berlin, Amsterdam, Abu Dhabi, Cleveland, and a handful of other cities on three continents. Yesterday, Plug and Play announced it was going to develop a presence in Northwest Arkansas. The announcement yesterday was made in California with several representatives from Northwest Arkansas business and education attending. One person there was Nelson Peacock, president and CEO of the Northwest Arkansas Council. The council will serve as a coordinator of the effort with Plug and Play and local partners like Walmart, Tyson Foods, and J.B. Hunt. Yesterday, we talked with Nelson Peacock before he left the Silicon Valley region. We asked him about the new collaboration. He says the partnership continues a strategy laid out last summer by the council to focus on innovation, entrepreneurship, and diversification of this region's economy.
How do we get additional startup focus in our area? How do we attract companies to our area, and how do we build out an innovation ecosystem amongst our enterprise companies? And so this partnership with Plug and Play helps us do a lot of those things in one program where we've set up a format for Walmart, Tyson Foods, and J.B. Hunt to work together on key industry challenges in the supply chain logistics space, and we'll probably bring in more partners to this as we go. We will have a system where we have a partner that is going to help us bring in some of the best startups in the world, up to 60 over the three-year period to Northwest Arkansas for 3 months at a time to work with those companies and be in Northwest Arkansas and get an understanding of what it's like to be there and work there. So those are all industry. Those are all key priorities that we have, and then. Finally, the idea of getting more venture capital and investment capital into the region. That's where we suffer quite a bit. And this is going to be good for the startups that are there right now. Having visibility of venture capitalists from all over the world in Northwest Arkansas. And so this partnership and relationship that we have with Plug and Play really meets all three of those challenges, and so that we identified last year as things that we wanted to work on.
It sounds like this is an opportunity for startups to not have to travel somewhere to get some of the top minds and eyes and ears and brains, but rather they come here. Is that kind
that's
of what
right.
happens?
Yeah, that's right. So they, instead of doing this in Silicon Valley or New York or anywhere else, we are bringing startups to Northwest Arkansas, whereas years ago, months ago, weeks ago, our companies were probably traveling to them more often than they wanted to. Now, of course, if they identified a startup and wanted to talk to them, anyone's going to fly in to talk to Walmart or Tyson or J.B. Hunt, but you're still spending your people time going out and looking for these, startup companies that have a solution to your problem. Now we are going to collaborate in Northwest Arkansas at home, and we have a partner that is going to be able to help source those companies, identify the best ones, and the companies will scale down and bring the ones in that they want to talk to and work with the most.
Help those of us who are not fully immersed in this particular slice of business. What kind of startups can benefit from supply chain and logistics accelerator programs?
Well, so you think it could be anything. So it could be Internet of Things. You think about sensors and RFID. We saw a startup today out here in Sunnyvale at their day, you know, that had different sensors that could tell if a, let's say, cold storage package had heated up too high, so that left pharmaceuticals or vaccines subject to damage. A lot of artificial intelligence and AI around getting the best route for a location to a different location. There was a lot of focus and discussion about autonomous vehicles, obviously, and what that's going to look like. Last mile delivery, you know, with more and more individuals expecting their packages to be delivered on time and as inexpensively as possible. That last mile delivery is critically important for all of these companies. And so companies that have the best solutions in that space are going to find a lot of customers in Northwest Arkansas.
Nelson Peacock is the president and CEO of the Northwest Arkansas Council. He spoke to us yesterday from Silicon Valley after an announcement that Plug and Play, a supply chain and logistics accelerator, will develop a presence in Northwest Arkansas.
Walmart Amp and Rogers presents Star Wars, A New Hope, in concert Saturday, May 25th. This event features the complete movie with a live symphony orchestra performance of John Williams' musical score. Gates open at 6:30 with film and live music beginning at 8. AmpTickets.com or 443-5600 for more. Food insecurity affects every community, including those around us. Arvest Bank is helping stock the shelves of local food pantries through its Million Meals campaign. Non-perishable food items can be dropped off at any Arvest branch during regular business hours. The drop-off deadline is June 1st. More information is available at arvest.com/millionmeals.
Here she comes. So happy to see you. Give her a hug, Gerald.
That's the sound of Rebecca Rush rolling into Bentonville this weekend after she left Little Rock on her bike Tuesday of last week. Rush is one of the most renowned endurance athletes in the world, and she's on her way to becoming the first person to navigate a newly mapped 1,100-mile bike route through Arkansas. Rush is also a world champion in multiple disciplines, a record setter, a book author, and an Emmy Award winner. The Arkansas High Country Route takes riders on paved and gravel roads that wind through the Ouachitas, the River Valley, the Bossett Mountains, and the Buffalo National River Corridor. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek met up with Rush a couple of hours after she arrived in Bentonville and talked with her about her journey so far.
So we are at Fat Tire Bike Shop in Bentonville with Rebecca Rush. I'm sitting on the floor, and Rebecca's laying on the floor with her legs elevated. Tell me why.
Well, this is day 5 of the Arkansas High Country route that I've been riding, and I'm at about mile 600. So I've been riding for 5 days, you know, 10 to 14 hours a day on the bike. But really, I get to be the first one to piece this whole route together. That has been a project that's been a collaboration for more than 5 years. Chuck Campbell is the route designer, and it's a collaboration with Arkansas Parks and Rec and a whole bunch of other people to really put this route on the map. And so I get to be the first one to test drive it. So I'm more than halfway through, but I've been really on my bike for days through the Arkansas High Country. I started in Little Rock, and I'm at Bentonville now. So this is I'm going to take a rest day or stay overnight here, and I'm getting my bike worked on, and we're multitasking with this interview at the same time.
What has it been like so far? What have you liked most about it?
I think what I've liked most is the hospitality of Arkansas. It's a really remote route, and there is the services are very few and far between. So you really are relying on the hospitality of locals in these small towns. And they're like, wait, you're doing what? You're riding where? But everyone opens their door and says, come on in. We had a wonderful woman, Mary, last night in OARC, who took me in the rain and made me dinner. And so that's been really special. I'd say I'm really kind of surprised at how hilly Arkansas is. I really didn't know it was going to be so hilly. There's a ton of elevation every day, and beautiful riding. And I was a bit naive about that. I come from a mountain state. I live in Idaho, and this is like serious mountain elevation. Smaller hills, but a lot of them.
So what's been the most challenging part of this route so far?
The most challenging absolutely has been the Arkansas weather. It has not been kind to me, and I've been pretty much every day in torrential downpour. And so, one, it's, you know, it's been 45 degrees and raining, so it's really cold, and I'm carrying everything with me on my bike, and so I don't have a lot of extra clothing and gear, and once it's soaked through, that's it. And so it does keep me moving, because I have to keep moving to stay warm. But yeah, the weather has been absolutely awful.
So what kind of, other than staying warm, what motivates you to keep going when the weather is just really the worst?
You know, on a self-support ride like this, I mean, I've committed to doing the whole thing, and so nobody's going to come get me. You know, I was in OR this morning, and I got up at 3:30 to start riding at 4:30 to try to get to Bentonville for tonight. And you know, of course, I would have rather stay in bed in this nice warm cottage, but you just realize that I've committed to it. I'm on my own, and so nobody's going to pedal the bike for me. And so it's, I really wanted to get here. And I will tell you, there was definitely a pull to get to Bentonville because I knew a bunch of friends were waiting. And so while I'm alone on the course, I do feel kind of the support from all these other people. And we have a little live tracking. I have a satellite device I'm using, so people are following along. And so part of me feels a responsibility to keep going because I know people are watching. So I'm getting a push from friends and family and fans as well.
And can you just kind of describe to me your bike setup real fast and how much weight you're carrying when you are riding that bike?
Yeah, so it's a gravel bike. So that type of bike, it's kind of a hybrid between a mountain bike and a road bike. And so it looks like a road bike, but it's got a little wider tires, and it's meant for riding on dirt roads. And I've got frame bags on there. So all my supplies are in little bags that are fastened onto the bike. Part of the thing that's exciting about these trips is planning what you're going to take on the bike and the logistics of what can I carry, what can I leave at home. And my bike, without any of the equipment on it, weighs 20 pounds. And then we weighed it right when I left, and it weighs about 31 with all my gear.
And, you know, when we talk about unsupported, can you just describe what that means to somebody who doesn't quite maybe know what you're doing?
Yeah, so self-supported bike rides like this, and they call it bike packing. You're carrying with you on your bike all the things that you need, but you're allowed to use public services as well. So like I'm at Fat Tire Bike Shop right now getting my bike worked on, or restaurants or hotels or cabins for lodging. But you're carrying with you you know, all your clothing, so your rain gear, all the clothes you're going to wear for the week, socks, you know, toiletries, some trail bike maintenance tools, lights, navigation equipment. And so your bike is fairly loaded down with bags and packed for all the things that you need to be pretty self-sufficient. And then with the map, I'm planning where are the facilities. Okay, I don't get to food for another 100 miles, so I need to plan ahead and take all that food with me up until the next resupply point. So that's kind of what self-support means.
So do you kind of plan where you're going to spend the night, or have you been able to sort of get to the points that you needed to get to in order to spend a night somewhere?
When I looked at the maps, one of the biggest things that what was apparent to me is that the lodging is really far between. There's big stretches of 150 miles with no towns or resources. And so I elected not to carry camping gear, which is a bit of a risk. But that means I have to get to that next point that I planned. So I've kind of planned my stop points But it's meant for some really, really long days. And then last night, we definitely got shut out because the place I wanted to stay, you know, there was no availability because it was a Friday night. And so then I was taken in by Mary, who was a trail angel out in Oak. But yeah, I'm trying to leapfrog to plan my lodging and get to each point based on the mileage and how much I want to do. I'm doing about 100 to 150 a day. That's kind of been where it's averaging out based on where the lodging is available.
And how did you find Mary?
I pulled into Oak, had a store that I knew, a general store, and so I really needed food. This was 4:30 in the afternoon. It's raining super hard. It seemed much later because it was so dark. And I pull up to, it's a historic general store. It's the oldest general store in Arkansas. It's on the National Registry. Maybe you know about it. I pull up. It's closed. And I'm sort of peering in the window, forlorn, just knowing that the next services are Fayetteville. From up over White Mountain, there's nothing. And I'm out of food. I'm freezing cold. And it's getting dark. And sort of standing there on the porch, feeling sorry for myself, thinking, what am I going to do? And kind of evaluating, okay, I could sleep in a barn. I could, you know, what it, and I see this little beacon, this little sign that says Airbnb, and the house right behind the store, and I walk over, and out comes Mary, and, you know, she was full there, but she put me in another cabin and basically rescued me for the evening.
And what did Mary think when you told her what you were doing?
She thought it was really cool. I mean, she's born and raised there, her whole family's there, and, you know, she thought it was great that I was exploring. And you could definitely, there's something about the bike that when you're traveling on a bike, and especially when you're raining and look like sort of a wet, you know, soggy mess, she could see in my face that I needed food and shelter. And she was so kind. She was just like, honey, come on in, and just swooped me up and made me dinner. And yeah, it was really sweet. But I do think there's something about traveling on a bike that people understand and they appreciate and they'll help you.
What do you think it is about the bike that makes people sort of so responsive to it?
I think they understand, you know, it's really obvious that it's human powered. You've sort of committed. You are open air. And so you really are seeing and smelling and seeing and feeling what the terrain and these small towns are like. And it's much more immersive than driving through with your windows up. And even if your windows are down, it's a lot different experience on a bike because you really do feel the area, and you stop and you look around and you talk to people, and so it's just welcoming on both sides.
So obviously you are just a renowned endurance athlete in a lot of disciplines, not just biking, but what is it about these types of rides and events that are endurance driven that has drawn you to this kind of arena of sport?
I think for me, I've always been an adventurer, even as a kid. You know, I would want to camp in my backyard and, you know, ride my bike around the next corner. And so I think there's a curiosity and a sort of explorer in me that I've had since I was a little kid. And the bike, you know, through my career has become this perfect tool to really travel and see the world and see what's over the next hill. And it's been the tool for me to be able to still have that childlike curiosity and exploration, and to be able to come do the Arkansas High Country route. You know, when I got invited to do this, it was, you know, of course I want to, because I had never really seen much of Arkansas except for Bentonville. And so the opportunity to explore in that way is really special.
And is it also, I mean, is any part of it about just seeing how far you can go and how far the human body can do?
Yeah, I mean, I do these endurance rides that, you know, people can't wrap their head around, being on a bicycle for 14 hours a day for multiple days in a row. And so for me, it checks a lot of boxes in pushing human endurance and what the body is capable of. But it's also a bit of a mind exploration for me, and a kind of a therapy and a, you know, learning about myself. When I'm out in the rain and cold and hungry and have to ride up the next hill, I am learning about myself, and there's no one there to talk to. So have got to go into my own head. And so it is a I guess, a research project of one continuing to grow as a human physically and emotionally.
You are by yourself very often for a long time. How do you sort of manage that?
Well, I listen to True Grit on the first day. So when I travel somewhere, I like to get novels or things from the areas that I'm going. And so that was kind of cool. And they're mentioning places I was riding through, like Dardanelle and Mountain Magazine. And I heard that on the book. So a lot of times I'm alone and just listening and to my thoughts and not listening to things. But I do like to listen to audiobooks.
When you ride, are you sort of hoping that other people are inspired by this kind of thing and take it on, or is it sort of for yourself more?
This ride, it's a combination. Of course, it's a really cool endurance event for me to come do, but the bigger picture is one highlighting, I mean, the project and the collaboration between the Parks and Rec and the grants that were awarded to put this route together. I mean, that's what's really exciting, is I hope, yes, this ride is for me, but I hope by people watching it, they think, oh, I'm going to do that section, or I want to go see what is OARC like, you know, or what is Dardanelle like, or all these different places. And so, yeah, I do hope people are watching and it inspires them either to come to Arkansas, or if they live here, to get out into places that they've never seen of their own home state. And, you know, part of these ultra endurance rides, some of my missions, I have a foundation called the Be Good Foundation, and one of the missions that I feel really strongly about is public lands and access for people to go out and enjoy being outside. And so this project is hopefully highlighting that for Arkansas.
So what are you looking forward to most this evening?
I'm looking forward to a shower and a really great meal and hopefully Onyx coffee in the morning, because I love that coffee shop. But yeah, really just having some of the comforts of a bed, a shower, a really good meal, because, you know, on the bike, I'm eating on the fly. I'm not like stopping and having lunch. You know, this is the first stop I've had since 4:30 this morning, was getting here. Otherwise, I'm just quickly filling water bottles and eating on the bike. So I'm just when you strip away all of the comforts of just a shower and a bed, suddenly that becomes, you know, the most important thing and really appealing. But, I mean, really, I haven't talked to anybody in 4 days because I've been alone on the bike, and so it has been really nice to come in and feel such a celebration going on with the film festival and all these women's cycling events going on here, and so that energy is going to hopefully push me on for the next 450 miles.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us when you're exhausted and have just been doing this amazing thing. So we really appreciate hearing from you.
Thanks for sitting on the floor for an interview with me. Next time we should go on a bike ride.
That was endurance athlete Rebecca Rush speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. Rush finished the route back to Little Rock in about 9 days.
A limited number of tickets are available for an evening with the Avett Brothers Saturday, May 18th at the Walmart Amp in Rogers. Avett Brothers songs include I and Love and You, Ain't No Man, and others. Gates open at 6:30, live music at 8, amptickets.com or 443-5600 for more.
This is Ozarks at Large. Katie Pyatt is presenting the show Male Fragility, a night of rant and reason, Friday night at Crystal Bridges. Katie is a queer, non-binary artist who grew up near Springfield, Missouri, and now lives in Portland, Oregon. Yesterday afternoon, Katie spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about the show. They began the conversation by discussing what it was like growing up in the Ozarks.
I did not discover my non-binary self, or at least feel safe to go public about it, until last summer, in my 30s. And so, last year was huge. I actually have like some jokes about this, because my mom's like, you need to be patient with me. You've put me through a lot, because last year I turned 30. I'm her youngest child. And then I found out I was bisexual on accident in a phone conversation with her. And then I started to feel the need to go public with my non-binary feels. And so recently I've been doing a lot of like journaling and investigation of my childhood. And I honestly, I don't think I would have felt safe to come out when I was a teen. I have huge respect for people that see themselves in their teens, because I definitely did not. Like, I felt In looking back at it, when people would mistake me for a boy when I was a teenager, I felt shameful because I was like, oh no, I'm supposed to be like XYZ what a girl is. But I would also feel secret excitement of like, oh my gosh, I confused them, which is my favorite thing now. I don't know. I feel like I probably felt very like safe hiding. Like for a while I was like, I'm just such a powerful ally. I support so much. But I think I was just like deeply closeted, because it's definitely I can't speak for the climate now, but it was definitely a weird area to even just be like a fat girl in, and to be like a fat not girl who's not straight was probably not a path that I would have found very easily, because my father, who gets a co-writing credit for this show, was a very fragile man. I mean, he still is, but I don't speak to him anymore.
Was he sort of the person that kind of gave you a sense of the patriarchy? Maybe you didn't have a word for it quite at a young age, but was there a moment or an incident as a child where you recognized this system of what we call patriarchy, or this idea that maybe things weren't equal?
It was kind of a mixture of both. Like, I didn't understand what feminism was until I was 14. I saw the movie, the HBO film Iron-Jawed Angels on Scratchy Stars channel on my mom's school television. She was a second grade teacher. And I will say, like, that show or that movie shows a history of, like, white women trying to get the right to vote, and it's wildly not intersectional in its topic, but that's also historically like what happened. But at the same time, like, it's problematic now, but it influenced me as a young white teen, because it was about these women like hunger striking and being like, we're going to have a protest parade on the same day as the inaugural parade to get the right to vote. And so that's when I was kind of like, that's true. And I think that's also why I didn't come out or even think about, because I didn't have the language for non-binary when I was 14, but also it was really alluring to be like, yeah, I am a woman because I have this cause to fight for, which I still like now. I'm just like, women and femmes and non-binary people, like, we experience XYZ things, and being raised, you know, forcibly as a woman in this culture and country and things like that, I still identify with that, but I definitely feel like those little feminist feelings when I was a teenager helped me stay in the woman sect. And like before that, when I was a little kid, my dad used to say things like, oh, you know, women can't skateboard. Women can't. One of my favorite things to tell when I do stand up comedy is just like, he was like, women aren't funny. And then I just look at the crowd like, I don't know. Look at me standing here being hilarious. Like, what, you know, what do you guys think? But he would always be like, women are demure and submissive. And like, he would say things like that. And he always point to Charlize Theron as the perfect example of a woman, which I've always wanted to do a show next to a cardboard cutout of her and be like, I can't, that's one person, I can't do it. But he would always talk about like the demureness of women and being seen and not heard. But then also he would like pay me money to do these like very dangerous hillbilly chores, like, you know, be demure, be submissive, but also can you climb to the top of the shed and pull dead birds out of the stovepipe? I'll give you $3 for every bird. Like, okay. That's how I made money when I was a little kid. But it was just like, wait, now while I'm pulling these dead crows out of this, when am I being demure? Am I demure right now? Like, how does this work? Because this feels like a weird labor thing now. But he would say stuff like that all the time. Like, you should play basketball before it's time for you to get married. One time he caught me, my brother teaching me how to skateboard in the backyard, and he just got like so angry. And it wasn't even like, oh, you're skateboarding in the grass, that's super dangerous. It was like, girls can't skateboard. That's the end. Done. Bye. He used to get angry when I would get free tampon samples in the mail from like 17 magazines. And he'd just like point them at me and be like, we're not going to have this in my household. And it's like, as though I sent to the magazine, like, hey, you better send me some free samples, like, thanks. Or as though I had control over, like, menstruation in general. Like, he'd be like, we're not going to have this in our household. And I think, like, well, you should talk to the guy upstairs, because I didn't make my body this, you know, like, that's, it's not up to me. Why is this my fault?
So you said that your dad gets a writing credit. Is he, what would you give him, I guess, credit for being the person that prompted you to create the show?
I have very complex feelings about, like, he should get a writing credit, but would I actually put his name on a pamphlet about the show? I don't think so, but he definitely, like, started out my life with just immediate shame and second-class citizenship just for being born, just being a girl or being, like, assigned girl at birth was, like, a fault of mine that I could never figure out, like, how do I make this better or how do I get out of this? Like, I can't do any of these things. And so, like, I think he did give me a more critical lens. But what definitely opened my eyes was taking critical theory in graduate school and reading bell hooks and reading Men Explain Things to Me by Rebecca Solnit. I have a prepared reading list if anybody ever wants to ask me about it. Just like, you know, how you make up things. Like, if someone ever asks me, I have it. But I would definitely recommend The Will to Change, Men, Masculinity, and Love by bell hooks, and Men Explain Things to Me by Rebecca Solnit, because those, like, they really put a critical eye on the way culture has, like, we make, what do I want to say? We produce men who already feel accomplished, even in mediocrity, just like, I can do this, I'm the best. And they don't notice that they center themselves in conversation, and they don't notice that they're cute, quippy things about women's bodies or anything like that. Like, when I teach comedy classes, I always tell this bit of, like, you know, if you're a man doing comedy, don't do that comedy where you're like, everyone's going to think this is hilarious. I want you to think about what women in the audience are going to think. Like, a classic example would be like a guy that's like, oh, I had a bad date the other night. Her body's still in the trunk of my car. Haha. And like, the joke to him is, I would never murder a woman, but I don't know that. I don't know you. That's not funny to me. Like, that's a serious thing that you just said that you think is hilarious. And like, I'm the person who has my friend secretly bowling in the alley next to us because I don't know who you are when you take me on a date. So, like, that's not hysterical to me.
When you say male fragility, as is in mm-hmm. The title of your show, how do you define that?
Male fragility is when, because you're raised as a boy in a patriarchy and you're taught to cut off most of your emotions except for aggression and arrogance and dominance, it makes you get angry when those things are challenged. And like, to break that down a little bit further, in our culture, it's like idealized to be the quote unquote best man, to be the manliest, the top dog. And so in order to be that person, you have to make fun of things that are softer than you, or that might make you look quote unquote soft or feminine or homosexual or weak or something like that. And so when you make fun of those things, when you breach those contracts, that's when male fragility happens. The idea that when I was a little kid, my dad used to call me a floozy all the time. Like, you're just going to grow up to be a floozy. And I'd be like, Dad, what does that mean? I'm 11. Instead of him being able to actually communicate your budding sexuality and the idea that you would grow up someday to copulate with someone or be loved by someone makes me uncomfortable. Instead, he would just call me a floozy. Like, I think it's a lack of being able to communicate feeling and to pinpoint, this makes me uncomfortable, or this makes me feel sad, or this makes me feel loved. Instead, it's just like anger.
So the show seems to be a mix of things, a mix of stand-up comedy and audience participation. What is the overall goal of this performance for your audience?
For the audience, I want this show to be like a tender hug, but also call it like when your favorite teacher pulls you aside and says, hey, and I do this with kids all the time, like, hey, today wasn't your best day. And I know you can be a better person because I've seen you be a better person. And I love you so much that I want to tell you this. I'm not just going to let it happen. I'm going to point out that we can do better and that I believe that you can do better. And so I want it to be like that for people in the audience, for men in their own behavior, like a self-critical, like self-analyzation, and then for women and femmes, non-binary people who have survived abuse, and also like women and femmes and non-binary people within our communities, toxic masculinity is a thing that is primarily seen with men, but also like within the gay community, amongst like butches and stuff, like that happens too. And so like, we could call it out. We can see it. I want this show to be like a tender hug, but also a critical letter of like, you're accountable as heck. And then to create a discourse.
That was artist Katie Pyatt speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Katie's show, Male Fragility, A Night of Rant and Reason, begins at 7, Friday night at Crystal Bridges. Admission is free. Tickets may be reserved at crystalbridges.org.
The Delta Dental of Arkansas Foundation is Arkansas's nonprofit dental health plan. With more than 30 years of experience, Delta Dental offers specialized dental coverage for employees and family members of Arkansas businesses, nonprofits, and governmental organizations with a mission to improve health and to be the leading force in the delivery of quality dental insurance services. More information at ArkansasMissionOfMercy.org. The 19th Annual Art of Wine Festival presents Uncorked Wine Tasting, Friday, May 17th at 7 p.m. This summer social party offers over 800 assorted wines, beer, spirits, local food, plus live music and art. A limited number of tickets available at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600.
It's a Wednesday edition of Ozarks at Large. I have moved next door to the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio to sit down with Timothy Dennis, who gives us every week a rundown of live music we can enjoy in the next few days. How are you, Timothy?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Kyle?
Very good. Happy George Brett's birthday.
Ooh, fantastic. Yes. Royal, right?
Yes. Hit 390 in 1980. Only person to win three batting titles in three different decades. But I digress. Let's talk music.
Okay, let's talk music. Let's start with tomorrow night in Fayetteville. George's Majestic Lounge is going to have the folk Americana band Dead Horses. They're from the Milwaukee area.
All right. All my sacred sins and all your dirty lies.
Another Americana folk artist, Ben Jaffe, will open that show. Tickets for that show are $10. It'll get underway at 8:30 tomorrow night. Again, that's George's in Fayetteville. Also happening tomorrow night in Fayetteville, Macon Loaf will be at Kingfish.
This is in my Hall of Fame of names.
They're a fantastic local kind of rock folk band. Mm-hmm. That show at Kingfish gets underway at about 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Moving on to Friday night, Weston Watson is going to welcome Nate Hancock back to Fayetteville. Broken hearts in New York City. Bright lights, she's so damn pretty. No pain, I'm never turning back. Gonna ride this train, don't need any tracks. Till the sun sets on the west coast. So chill where the hill and the most. Cali love and all your green grass, you're never too far.
Tell me about Nate Hancock. Why is that such a familiar name?
He is a Northwest Arkansas native, but right. He's been touring around the country and around the world the past few years with his band Nate Hancock and the Declaration.
Right, right.
That show at Weston Watson gets underway at 9 o'clock. That's Friday night. Also happening Friday night, something you're going to be really excited about.
All right, I got to tell you, I have to be in a car headed to headed to XNA, something like 4:30 in the morning. And I know what you're going to tell me, and I'm curious to see if I'm going to make this or not.
So Carter Sampson is going to be at Black Apple Crossing for free.
I know.
What time does
it start?
It starts at 8 p.m.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's early. So if you're unfamiliar with Carter Sampson, she is a fantastic Oklahoma...
singer, songwriter, entertainer.
Queen of Oklahoma.
Queen of Oklahoma.
If you can't see her Friday night, although this does you no good, she will also be at Harry's Downtown Saturday night at 9 p.m. with a $5 cover. Moving on.
Yes.
Up in Bentonville Friday night, Blues in the Natural State will take place at Meteor Guitar Gallery. It's the annual membership drive, member appreciation event for the Ozark Blues Society. Members of the Ozark Blues Society get in for free. Everybody else pays $15. The event is going to feature people like Buddy Shute, Jesse Dean, Isaiah Warford, O.C. Fisher, and many, many, many more.
My love has come along. Oh, and my lonely days are over.
And that too is Friday night?
That's Friday night. It's at Meteor Guitar Gallery. It gets underway at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Also happening Friday night, but over in Rogers, Brick Street Brews will have Ken Weatherford. He's one half of the husband and wife duo, the Weatherfolk, but he's also the song leader at Beer and Hymns events throughout the area.
I'm going to guess he's the husband half of the husband and wife, yes.
You would be correct.
All right.
That show at Brick Street Brews gets underway at 7 o'clock Friday night. Also happening Friday night, but over in Siloam Springs, Drawing Blanks will be at Creekside Tap Room.
Wow. Okay.
They are a fantastic alt-rock band from Siloam Springs. We'll actually hear from them on Friday's edition of Ozarks at Large.
Right.
But that show at Creekside Tap Room gets underway at 7 o'clock Friday night. Also happening Friday night
Good
over
grief.
In Eureka Springs, the Whispering Willows will be at Brews.
Moonflowers in my hair, laying down my feet were there. Too many troubles, oh, I got some. But your heart can
That show at Brews gets underway at 7 o'clock Friday night. Moving on to Saturday night. Backspace in Fayetteville is going to have a punk rock show featuring Nice, N-I-I-I-C-E. They are a punk and emo band from the St. Paul, Minnesota area. They will be supported on that bill by locals Neon Glittery, Elephantum, and Moldy Locks.
And that's Saturday.
That's Saturday.
Okay.
Gets underway at 8 o'clock. That is Backspace in Fayetteville. Also happening Saturday night, the Avett Brothers are going to be at the Amp.
Words only won't suffice. Roses and sacrifice for you. Darling, don't get me wrong. I've loved for long.
Welcome back to Northwest Arkansas.
Exactly. Seems right. Like they're here almost every year now.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen them at Walker, the late lamented and missed Wakarusa. Mm-hmm. I saw them at the Amp when it was at the Washington County Fairgrounds,
yeah.
I think.
Were
they at? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they've been at the Amp a couple times. And have they been at Walton Arts Center as well?
I feel like they have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people love them, and yeah. They put on a good show.
And they're always welcome here.
Yes.
There's still some tickets left for that show. Lawn tickets are $35. It'll begin at 8 o'clock Saturday night. Again, that's the Walmart Amp in Rogers. Happening over in Eureka Springs Saturday night, the Irie Lions will be at Chelsea's. Cover for that show is $5. It'll get underway at 9:30 Saturday night. Again, Chelsea's in Eureka Springs. Still in Eureka Springs, The Odd is going to have one interesting show, We Dream Dawn. So, you know Sage Cook, right?
Yes.
Formerly of Elephant Revival.
Yes, yes.
So this is her project. She will be supported by Eureka Music Revival, which is Jason and Lori Davis, and also Jesse Dean.
Okay.
So should be interesting what comes out on that stage. Tickets are $12 in advance for that show. They're $15 day of. gets underway at 7 o'clock. Again, that's at the Odd in Eureka Springs Saturday night. Moving on to Sunday, Eureka House Concerts is going to have Willie Carlisle back.
We love Willie.
Fantastic friend of the show. He's a great guy.
A great showman. And whatever he's doing, whether it's one of his produced plays or whether it's just him singing, a wonderful presence.
And, you know, he comes back home and then he goes out for a few months.
Right. A troubadour, if you will.
A troubadour, a traveling troubadour. Catch him while he is in town. You will not be disappointed.
And so that's the latest Eureka Springs House Concert.
Exactly. They're asking for a $15 donation at the door. It gets underway at 6 o'clock. Again, that's at the Unitarian Universalist Church on Spring Street in Eureka Springs.
Oh, my, that's a lot of stuff. That Friday night lineup is...
Yeah.
Packed. All right, because I'm on that plane early Saturday morning, I will not be here next week. You and Antoinette will talk. And I'm sure, we're in that season. The Gully Park concert series in Fayetteville begins later this month. The Amp's going to go full bore.
Music in the Forest at Crystal Bridges begins soon.
We're going to have the Mountain Street stage at the Fayetteville Public Library beginning.
And in a few months, we have Roots Festival.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you.
If I ever come off mean, vulgar or unclean, no, there's a gentle part of me, it ain't outspoken. And I carry that part up in the bed of my own truck, up the hill where my...
And this is Ozarks at Large.
This is Reflections in Black, and I'm your host, Raven Cook. Reflections in Black is a segment dedicated to exploring the legacy of Black Americans in the United States and around the globe. Reflections in Black also provides resources for understanding and hope for all people. The highest human act is to inspire. Nipsey Hussle. Ermias Joseph Ashkenham, also known as Nipsey Hussle, was born on August 15, 1985, in Los Angeles, California. Nipsey Hussle was the son of a Black American mother and an African immigrant father, and throughout his life embraced both sides of his rich Black and Eritrean heritage. As a young man, he joined the L.A.-founded gang, the Crips, and was no stranger to the streets, but remained steadfast in seeking education and always maintained a keen sense of possibility for economic uplift for himself and his community. A young, brilliant mind, Nipsey Hussle produced music to discuss his dreams of land ownership, developing knowledge of self, and hope to encourage his people toward uplift. A constant message of love, positive energy, wealth building, and education pushed Nipsey Hussle into activism, and he became a voice with modern-day pioneers like Ava DuVernay, Colin Kaepernick, and several other political and social justice voices of our day. In 2018, the artist presented his debut album, Victory Lap, going on to achieve a Grammy nomination for his hard work. His vision of ownership was made tangible to his community as he opened the Marathon clothing store in his city of Crenshaw. Sadly, on March 31, 2019, Nipsey Hussle was assassinated outside of the store he owned in his community. After his death, tributes, public art, and a message that the marathon continues appeared all over the country, all over the world. His message and music of light, love, and wealth building continue to echo through the communities he once desired to reach. The city that he loved and called home now has a basketball court with his likeness covering the space. Today, we honor the incredible life and legacy of Ermias Joseph Ashkenham and seek to do our part as the marathon continues.
Reflections in Black is a production of KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville. You can hear weekly segments on Ozarks at Large, and you can learn more about the series at KUAF.com. Just search for Reflections in Black.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, Jeffrey Davis's poetry captures all the thrills and dangers of parenthood, childhood, and everything in between. His new collection, Night Angler, has just been published.
I thought it was fine, and then the box of books arrived, and my wife came home to me with a full glass of whiskey poured, and she was just like, what's wrong? And it's like, all I could do is point at the book.
Jeffrey Davis discusses life, art, poetry, fatherhood, and the balance we all try to find. Plus, he'll read from his new collection, Night Angler, tomorrow on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF. Contributors to our midweek show today included Antoinette Grajeda, Zuzanna Sitek, and Timothy Dennis. Timothy also mastered our show today. Reflections in Black is written and hosted by Raven Cook, the creator of Foundation's Black History Educational Programming, and Reflections in Black is produced by Lee Wood at the Carver Center for Public Radio. The Ozarks at Large theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. His new album is available now. It is titled Safe in Sound. You can learn more about Daryl at his Facebook page, and you can often find him live on Facebook or Instagram playing his music as well. A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Moffett, Oklahoma. You can find us online at ozarksatlarge.com. You can take us with you as a podcast absolutely free of charge. It's available through Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Apple TV, most places where podcasts reside. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Antoinette Grajeda selects music for us to end many of our editions of Ozarks at Large, and she's done just that for this Wednesday version of Ozarks. We're going to close with Carter Sampson's in-studio version of Be My Wildflower. It was recorded just for us in the Furman Garden Performance Studio a few years ago. And as Timothy mentioned earlier on our show, she will be at Black Apple Crossing in downtown Springdale Friday night. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We'll be back tomorrow at noon and 7. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.